Hi. I'm about to span 5 centuries, actually. I should let you know that I've always drawn as a medium in its own right. I actually haven't painted and done drawing in connection with that. This drawing is in the show right now. It's called 30 Years Old, and it's part of a series that I did on masturbation called Masturbators. I've always been interested in drawing and masturbation and how they go together, because you use your hand to draw, and you use your hand to masturbate. So in a sense, when you masturbate, you're drawing. We know our body as a whole, but it's mostly experienced in parts. You use one hand to draw. You listen with your ears. You see with your eyes. You fall in love with your heart. I'm interested in these episodes of disembodiment and dismemberment, headlessness, armlessness, leglessness, heartlessness, the way disembodiment actually functions inside the idea of a whole body. So here you have some examples of covered faces, facelessness, that transform the body into a menace, a seductress, a fiend, or something just very fantastic. There's a lot of power in the presence of someone who asserts themselves without a face. I'm also interested in that power. This is from a series of drawings I did called The Executioners, where the head falls away or half asserts itself or is totally covered. I took pictures of myself with my head covered in different ways to see what happened, not so much the absence of my head, but how it changed. We're familiar with headlessness and facelessness, with floating heads and floating faces in the context of glamour photography. Something divine is implied in the head that floats without a body. It's godlike. It has no weight. It doesn't excrete. This is a picture of a skull from a class I actually took last summer. It was the first summer I was sort of in New York for the whole summer on forensic facial reconstruction. So I addressed the issue of the headless, of just the head, very literally. And this was one head which was not identified that we worked on in class. We then used certain characteristics and aspects of the skull that all humans share in order to build up on top of the skull and to try to form a facsimile of what the head of the person actually looked like. This is a picture of the actual person that we were given only after we finished the heads. And I focused on this for about 5 weeks on this particular skull to get to this particular identification. At the same time that I was taking that class, I also was making sculpture. It's kind of a happy coincidence that I had begun working directly on skulls. The skull sculptures I saw as grave markers in a sense, but I also called them watchers, which could be installed along the ramparts of a great fortress at its cardinal points overlooking the sea. This is Holofernes 01. It's a drawing that I did, which refers to the story of Judith and Holofernes, which is of a woman, Judith, who decapitates the general of an enemy army, Holofernes. Oftentimes when I draw couples, I make the male character interchangeable with animals or with animal parts. I kind of am asking, what is the greater distinction between man, humankind, and animal in a sense? That's one thing. The other thing is that male anatomy is foreign to me and always will be. It's not my own anatomy, and so I feel like I'm at liberty to be more fantastic with it. This drawing is called Melancholy Girl, and it's also in the collection at the MoMA. And this is just to show the power of the face and how it can completely dominate the space around it and dominate the body and dictate its terms. This is the Isenheim altarpiece from the early 16th century by Grunewald. And I'm showing it just to remind everyone that the body opened up and gore has been present in images for since the beginning of the image, really. And this is an altar piece that made a very big impression on me when I was little. I was about 7 when I saw it for the first time. These are effigies of Christ from various churches in Mexico. I've seen this in person years ago and found these particular ones on the internet. And it's just a very literal, physical representation of the body of Christ. This is a very recent drawing. I did this like last week, and it's an undeveloped series. Right now, what's bringing these drawings together is simply that the body is horizontal, and it may end up being Cleopatra, who committed suicide by stinging herself with a snake. This is by Hunsfold and Green, also from the 16th century. He was a contemporary of Dürer, and I really, really love this painting and always have for a long time, because death is really not passive or anonymous or faceless. Death is like this jolly, obnoxious rogue, and he's very assertive. This is another couple drawing where when I draw two figures together, there's a lot of tension between the two figures in the shared space, and I have a tendency to sometimes have one kind of dissolve or fall into the other. And when it comes to two figures embracing, you have to always wonder, are they falling into something together, or is one kind of snatching the other away from something? And I like to play with this ambiguity that I think always exists between two figures. This also is a drawing of two figures, but one is almost totally inside of the other one. This is the Hunchback of Notre Dame and model of Alexander McQueen. I look at a lot of high fashion, because deforming and altering the body in fashion is commonplace, and we do it all the time as a matter of style. So we're always playing with this ambiguity between glamour and deformity in a kind of shared way. This is a drawing called Scale that I did of a woman's torso, but I was also thinking of weights and scales that are like a double scale, and also of ships and the ocean. So I took all those things and together with them made one body.